Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversation. Once again, it's that time of year. We've done this for, 6 or 7 years now, I think, at this time.
At least.
To welcome back George Marshall. Welcome, George.
Thanks, Mike. Glad to be here.
I looked back in our records, and I went back several years and found out that the Rhode Island International Film Festival has been doing this middle of December show now for quite a while. So you definitely are a veteran, and our audience, I'm sure, has grown to love the information and the music that you bring to them. Normally, we talk at this time of year about some of the shows, some of the movies that have been out, and listen to some great soundtracks. And that's going to be the same for this evening. You've put together quite a list.
Yes, and these are all current films, except for a couple classics that I've thrown in, just for kicks and giggles and a nice way to open up the holiday season.
Yeah, we'll talk about some of the ones that may be up for some awards, as well as some of the ones that, that was nice. Now, the Rhode Island International Film Festival, let's just spend a minute on that. That's an organization that obviously runs all year long. Things are always happening. Mm-hmm. And I asked you off air, and you said that something is happening almost every month.
Yeah, so. Actually, we have a couple of new initiatives that we're working on as well. This past year, we introduced something with the Boston Children's Hospital. It's actually a film program. It's called the Children's Hospital International Film Festival. And what we did was we brought films to kids that are in quarantine, basically, kids with immuno issues and stuff like that.
Right.
And for a period of a month, we actually were doing closed circuit broadcasts for these films for kids, about 30-minute packages. They actually voted for the films that they liked, and we presented awards recently. So we're going to be doing that again. We just picked up Savannah Children's Hospital, and we're working now to work with the Toronto Children's Hospital.
Wow.
So we're going to expand that reach, and hopefully our goal is to not just be national but international.
Well, that'd be great. What a great thing to do. And as well, you always have a big deal around the Academy Award times.
It's true. Our event is coming up. It'll be the 90th Academy Awards, and that's on March 4th of next year.
Well, we'll have to have you back just before that so we can talk about that.
Love to. And by that point, we'll know what the nominations are.
Right.
And which of the films we actually spotlighted this year came up for awards.
Well, there you go.
That'd be kind of cool.
Now, we're going to listen to music from 9 movies today. So we have 3 segments to our program, as usual. Mm-hmm. And in each segment, we'll listen to 3 movie scores. So what do you have for us first?
Well, the very first one that I brought to you is a film called Murder on the Orient Express, based on the Agatha Christie novel. This is really the second major version of this film. There have been smaller versions, but the last one was a major Academy Award winner, and that was many years ago when I was a young man.
Oh, yeah.
And this version is by Kenneth Branagh, who is working with his Steadfast composer, Patrick Doyle. It's a beautifully mounted film. And while folks might quibble that the original was enough, I think we have a new audience. I think the audience is ripe for this type of classic interpretation. And with the all-star cast, it's actually a brilliant film and really sure to please folks over the holiday season. Kenneth Branagh directed and stars in it as Hercule Poirot. And his Steadfast composer for almost every film he's ever done is Patrick Doyle. And Patrick Doyle's style is really classical in tone, and I think it's worth listening to that because it harkens back to some of the classical scores from the 30s and the 40s.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to change gears significantly, I would think, from a kind of an old-fashioned setting or a turn-of-the-century setting, if you will, to something a little more modern.
Well, a little more modern and actually more popular. This is based on a DC Comics series called Justice League. And for folks that have been following any of the Superman, Superman versus Batman, and Wonder Woman, this is the next part of that whole anthology coming out from the DC Universe as opposed to the Marvel Universe. Justice League has had kind of mixed reviews, but it's still been building audience. It's done quite well in terms of box office impact. And what was really cool about this film is that they brought back the composer Danny Elfman, who did the original Batman way back in the 1980s, that starred Michael Keaton. Folks might remember that. So, and Elfman has a kind of a unique style. I mean, folks know him right now from Nightmare Before Christmas, which is still playing and still very popular. We picked a little piece for you that you might say, hey, that sounds very familiar. That's because Elfman went back into his musical archives and retrieved his Batman theme.
Ominous sounds of Batman and the Justice League. That's kind of gives you that eerie feeling.
Very much so. And the nice thing about Elfman is that his music is so recognizable. And it's funny because if you look at Elfman's background, I mean, God, he worked in pop music with Oingo Boingo. I mean, you know, people remember him from doing Pee Wee Herman. And Pee-wee's, you know, Great Adventure.
Right.
He's come such a long way, and if you look at his filmography, he has done so many scores that have become really part of our cultural landscape.
Yeah. All right, what do you have for us next?
Our next piece is from a smaller film called Goodbye, Christopher Robin. The music's by Carter Burwell, who normally works with the Coen brothers. And this piece, the film itself is about the inspiration for Christopher Robin and A.A. Milne and his son, who actually inspired Winnie the Pooh and Christopher Robin. So this is a very interesting story. It's very compelling in terms of letting you know just where these characters, these creations come from, and there's always a foundation of reality. And reality is always a little bit messy and not quite as clean as we would like it to be, as we see in literature.
Right.
So the piece we're going to be listening to is called Tree of Memory, and again, by Carter Burwell.
All right, we'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more. Movies of the year 2017 is our subject tonight as I sit with George Marshall from the Rhode Island International Film Festival, and we're kind of reviewing things that have been some big hits and some not so big hits, but important movies nonetheless. And so far we've covered Murder on the Orient Express and Justice League And Goodbye, what's the full title of Goodbye?
Goodbye, Christopher Robin.
Goodbye, Christopher Robin. And now we're moving on to another one that's kind of in that Justice League vein.
Yes, and it just passed the $800 million range. As a matter of fact, it's if you look at the box office this year, people, critics were saying, oh, no, it's not as good. Well, Warner Brothers just passed the $5 billion mark for their films, and that includes Justice League. Disney, a couple weeks ago, passed the $5 billion mark. And that still is up in the air in terms of how that's going to settle because we've got coming up next week, as a matter of fact, the next Star Wars episode.
And that'll probably take in a few hundred bucks.
A couple. The last Star Wars part of this. This is number two of a trilogy. The Force Awakens took in over $2 billion.
$2 billion. With a B.
Yeah. And if you look at the top film right now this year, the very top grossing film is the live action Beauty and the Beast with Emma Watson, and that's $1.2 billion.
Wow.
Now, with a
this,
B.
This one is in, as I said, kind of in that same league as Justice League, if yes. you will, is a play on words. It's
and
Thor.
And this is part of the Marvel Universe, and this is actually setting things up for the next big Marvel version of Justice League. And that's about the Infinity Wars or the Infinity Stones. And all the episodes that we've seen so far have been building to this. So this is Thor Ragnarok. And what's interesting about this, it's a different Thor because it's got a dark edge to it, but a lot of humor. And I think that's from the director himself, who also plays a CG character called Borg, a rock person. And the stuff is just out there. It's really out there, which is why the critics have adored this film. It's in the 90 percentile with Rotten Tomatoes. It's doing great business. As I mentioned, it's past the $800 million mark, and it will probably go even higher. And so what I thought we'd do is listen to a piece of the suite, which combines the styles of all the different characters. And this music is also interesting, too, because it's by a composer named Mark Mothersbaugh. And like Danny Elfman, he got his start in popular music. And his popular music was with a group called Devo. So if you think about the fact that these folks that start off with rock and pop music and then become classical composers for film scores and, right. and the whole range, it also gives you pause to realize and appreciate the amount of integrity of a lot of these artists out there. That they actually know more than you think they know
right.
and have greater talent, and they can actually live beyond a pop range. And I think that's kind of fascinating because Mothersbaugh has done so much work, and this piece here, I think, cements him into the fantasy genre. And that I think, is worth a lot.
We'll be right back.
George, this next movie sounds like it could be a action-packed superhero kind of thing, because the word wonder is in it.
Yes.
But it's not.
It's anything but. It's a great film by Todd Haynes, and it goes against his form in terms of the type of storytelling. It deals with two deaf people, and in New York, but 50 years apart. And it traces their journeys. The music is lush, it's gorgeous, it gives you a sense of wonder and being wonderstruck. So we picked a piece of this that I think will actually resonate. It's called City and the Stars.
We get back to that action-packed type of movie, Blade Runner, and it seems to me, as I look back on my many years of movie watching, that there seems to be more action fantasy kind of movies than ever before. Is that because of the technology?
I think the technology allows it to take place where more realistically. It's really a giant cartoon if you really want to be nasty about it,
right?
Because computer generated imagery does create something from nothing, or it does rotoscoping of real characters, and you see that in a lot of films where an actor will have without the makeup will have like computer dots that they'll go
right.
And realize it on the, and put, you know, a creature's face. I mean, you can see that with the Planet of the Apes movies, the reboot. Andy Serkis has made a living for himself by playing all these unbelievable characters, from Gollum with Lord of the Rings to Hobbit, and now with the apes and just about anything you can think of. He's capable of doing that. And that technology has changed the face of filmmaking as well as storytelling. It's cleaner. You don't see wires. You don't see
right.
blue lines around people or anything like that.
Now see, if you're as old as I am, I can remember Buck Rogers where you saw the actual line with a rocket ship ran.
Oh, yeah. Hey, hey. I shouldn't call this out, but when I was a kid, we saw Bedknobs and Broomsticks. You watch it today, you can see the armor walking with wires, yeah. and they never removed the wires.
Right.
But audiences didn't question that because we weren't really well educated in terms of film and film technology. We figured, sure. Oh, that might just be a problem with the film itself. No, it was wires. And in this case, the original still holds up, but there's actually four versions of the original Blade Runner that Ridley Scott directed. And what's interesting about this is that the studio did the first edit that audiences saw, the theatrical cut. They didn't quite trust the vision, and Ridley Scott was removed from the film, as well as the special effects director, Douglas Trumbull. And over the years, as the film became a cult classic,
mm-hmm.
What happened was the director released his own version, the director's cut, which changed the storytelling a lot. And then there's more demand for it. They kept going back and pulling things out. So there's actually a European version, a U.S. theatrical version. There's the first cut, and then there's the final cut. So depending on your poison. Now, jump forward to our times, and you have a director, up-and-coming director, who did Arrival last year, and his name is Denis Villeneuve. He's from Canada. Denis Villeneuve is a real visionary filmmaker and very, very talented, and he worked with Ridley Scott on the new version of Blade Runner 2049. They brought back Harrison Ford and also introduced Ryan Gosling as the current generation's Blade Runner. And the Blade Runner is a character who's basically told to kill replicants who have a short lifespan. They're not supposed to come to Earth. They're supposed to be an off-world. And the world that's presented here is a very dystopian environment that's pretty much in decline with natural resources very limited. This film ties a lot of the pieces together. It does answer some questions and leaves a lot of things dangling at the end. And the music that we're going to be listening to from this is Hans Zimmer's interpretation of Vangelis' original score. I saw the film, and I must tell you, I was very impressed with the vision and the techniques that were used and the storytelling itself. It was very engaging. Will audiences discover this? I think as time goes on, it'll become a classic.
All right. Well, we'll listen to that, then take a short break, and we'll be back with more of George Marshall from the Rhode Island International Film Festival.
Thank you.
We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with George Marshall from the Rhode Island International Film Festival. We've been reviewing films that were big this year in one way or another. And this last segment, we listened to music from Thor, Wondestruck, and Blade Runner. And now we're going to go back to a little bit more of a fanciful, if you will, film that is quite popular. Coco.
Yeah, Coco. Well, at this point, Coco has made close to $300 million in less than 2 weeks. Ironically, a huge hit overseas. In China, the box office for the second week went up over 300%.
Wow.
So I think Coco has legs. It's one of the highest grossing films in Mexico. And what's neat about this film is they use folks as talent, voice talent, that are actually part of this culture. And obviously the international versions are in those languages.
Right.
But the film itself pulls a lot of heartstrings. It's amazing, too, that it's caused a fight with the animation divisions, because they introduced Coco initially with a new Olaf from Frozen, a new short. But the short's 21 minutes. It's well done. It's got some nice music to it. But audiences came to see Coco, not Frozen. Right. And so there's actually been a lot of complaints about this Frozen short opening to Coco because the tones are so different.
Mm-hmm.
And they're from two different animation houses within Disney. One is Disney Animation, the other is Pixar. So this week, they have removed the Frozen short from all the screenings. I think it's kind of sad. It might reappear somewhere else, but now the focus is exclusively on Coco. It is an engaging, warm film that deals with family, and it deals with different generations, including death. And I think the title song that we're going to be playing, Remember Me, there's different variations in the film. We're going to be using the end credit music from this because it's very clean and very up-tempo. But the original piece that is played in the film with the little boy, Miguel, is just heartbreaking, and it's beautifully done. But for our purposes, we'll go for the polished edition.
Remember me, though I have to say goodbye. Remember me, don't let it make you cry. For even if I'm far away, I hold you in my heart. I sing a secret song to you each night we are apart. Remember me, though I have to travel far. Remember me, each time you hear a sad guitar. Know that I'm with you the only way that I can be, until you're in my arms again. Recuérdame.
Recuérdame. Si en tu mente vivo estoy.
Recuérdame.
Mis sueños yo te doy. Te llevo en mi corazón y te acompañaré. Unidos en nuestra canción, contigo ahí estaré.
Recuérdame.
Y mi cantar te irá a abrazar. Aún en la distancia nunca vayas a olvidar que yo contigo siempre voy. Recuérdame.
If you close your eyes and let the music play, keep our love alive, I'll never fade away. If you close your eyes and let the music play, keep our love alive, I'll never fade away. If you close your eyes and let the music play, keep our love alive, I'll never fade away. Remember me, for I will soon be gone. Remember me, and let the love we have live on. And know that I'm with you the only way that I can be. So until you're in my arms again, remember me. Remember me.
George, we've listened to a lot of great music, so I'm going to ask you to get right to this next hit, La La Land.
Yes. The reason we put in Coco was because that's probably going to get a nomination this year for the Academy Awards. And last year's nomination and win for Best Song was City of Stars from La La Land, music by Justin Horwitz, and Pasek and Paul did the lyrics. So I thought this would be kind of a nice touch to show where things could be heading with Coco.
Stars, are you shining just for me? City of stars, there's so much that I can't see. Who knows? I felt it from the first embrace I shared with you. Everybody wants there in the bars and through the smoke screen of the crowded restaurants. It's love. Yes, all we're looking for is love from someone else.
A rush,
a glance,
a touch,
a dance,
a look in somebody's eyes, to light up the skies, to open the world and send it reeling. A voice that says I'll be here and you'll be alright. I don't care if I know just where I will go, 'cause all that I need's this crazy feeling I got tapped out of my heart.
Think I want it to stay.
Once again, I want to thank you for coming in and bringing us our annual review of big hit movies. And it's a tradition I hope we can keep up for many years to come, George.
Thank you, Mike. I'd love to continue. This is a lot of fun for me. It's also great because the work I normally do is discovering new films, and rarely do we talk about feature films that are out there in the general domain with the popular films. So for us to be able to do this with things that are a passion for me is really enjoyable.
Great. I want to give the Rouen International Film Festival another plug to make sure you stay connected with that. You can go online and check out their events. There are many of them. And you can also check out George on television, right?
Yeah. We actually, end of the month, just before New Year's, we'll be premiering our new season of double feature on Rhode Island Public Broadcasting. That's at Friday nights at 8 o'clock. And that's with my buddy Stephen Feinberg and myself. And the current show, we'll actually be taping it shortly, will be on our favorite films. We have an order of 35 new shows that we'll be premiering in 2018.
So check that out Friday nights on the PBS station. So whatever your particular channel listening is, check them out. And happy holidays to you, George. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Same to you as well, Mike.
And we have time for one more piece of music and one more movie. Tell us about this one.
Well, I'm going backwards because one of the things that I enjoy is discovering the music that in films that actually goes on to win awards and then what happens afterwards. This piece came from a very small budget film in 2007, and it went on to win Best Song. It's from Once. The music is by Glenn Hansard and Marika Eglova, and it's called Falling Slowly. It's just a nice piece, and I thought what a great way to end this session with you. Happy holidays, everybody.
Thank you, George. See you all next time on Conducting Conversations.
Voice, you have a choice.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.